Everyone was wondering why Jess was taking so long to have this baby. I want to let you know, Ethan Michael knew that if he waited till September 1st, he would move into an elite group. I was born in September. My mother was born in September. I was married in September. My son was born in September. My father-in-law was born in September. So yay, Ethan. And we're excited for both the Stauffer and the Savoca family. Well, we're going to look at God's view on work. One of the reasons why we're going to take a little break from Philemon, being this is Labor Day, Steve knew that there's so many people away. I'm glad to see when we started after the break, there was only one person sitting on this side. So it's good you got some friends with you. So there are, though, a lot of missing today. And we don't want to have them miss the Philemon series. So Steve and the elders always talk through this. He thought it was wise to Labor Day, let's talk about work and God's view on work. And I think that's something that each of us have to learn. Labor Day in this country, it was proposed in 1882 by Matt McGuire, who was at that time the Secretary of Labor in New York. We got the idea, A, from Canada, because Canada already had a day of labor to celebrate. Oregon was the first state to really make it official in their state. And in 1894, Congress and Grover Cleveland made it official. Labor Day for the country is a day where we acknowledge the workforce. So we've been celebrating it for 118 years. It started out with parades in New York. It's morphed a little differently. Now it's the end of summer, school starts, and football starts. That's how we see it in America. What a transformation, huh? But this is critical. How do you see work? Nathan, could you put this picture up here? Who knows who this is? Who said that? Okay, I knew it had to be somebody in the older section. Who else do you think this is? Okay, that would be my obvious answer. Gilligan. It's really Bob Denver is his real name. And he's best known for Gilligan. But he played a role in this series called Dobie Gillis. How many have ever seen Dobie Gillis? Okay. Only old people. I saw it. I'm with you. Okay. Ava, you're not old. Did you see it? Okay. Bob Denver played this character, Maynard G. Krebs. He was a beatnik, kind of like a beach bum of another era. He didn't work. And every time the word work was spoken on the show, he would say, work! Okay? Because I ain't working. All right? Thanks, Nathan. What we want to do is, and I want to challenge you, what's your reaction right here, right now, to work? Just think about it. God wants us to specifically have a certain view. Now, as I studied this, this was overwhelming to me on how much the scriptures talk about work. Old Testament, New Testament. And Steve and I talk about this a lot. We do this on the teaching team. As we study and get all this information, now we try to organize it in a half an hour and make sense of it and try to challenge you. So what I'm going to try to do, as I thought this through, I have three areas that I want to try to make purposeful and challenging, and then have a conclusion on that. And the first is our young people. You're not in the workforce yet, but I want to be able to speak to you. I'm hoping you listen so that you can learn something. All the young people are over here. so that you can learn something in the workforce. Because guess what? They say we spend a third of our life in bed, all right? We spend a third of our life in the workforce. And most of us, when we say work, think about occupation, livelihood, how we make a living. And that's absolutely true. But my other purpose is to take that idea of work, and blend it with working for the Lord. Because if you and I are in Christ, that's what we should be doing, and that's how we should see it. So young people, take notes, okay? Or at least remember some of the points that we're going to try to make this morning. Then we have our young folks. You put that in any category you want. As I was thinking and preparing, there are quite a few young marrieds, young families that have relocated here just recently in the past few years for the purpose of their vocation and work. So we have in our society people who are beginning to work, young people, young marrieds, young families, and they're paying my Social Security, because that's the third group that I want to talk about. Those of us who are on the other end. I'm not sure if that's why you asked me to teach this, that I have some, experience, a lot of experience in the workforce. So young people, you guys who are young and retirement looks so far off, it's coming, it'll get there. And for us who are there, how do we view work for the future according to God? So the text that we picked out, if you could put this up on the board, Colossians. We're going back to Colossians. We were there for quite a few weeks to learn that Christ should be our all in all. And it was just neat to see how this works. As I studied this, this fits so well with Philemon, because we're dealing with Paul talking to a believer who was rich enough to have slaves, and Onesimus, who ran away but became a believer, and the dialogue and how that works. And really, this could be a message from Colossians to Onesimus as well. So it's up on the board if you want to read this. Let me read it for you. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now again, we're talking about someone who their livelihood is a servant. Probably, if you view that, society, we view that on kind of a low scale here. In our society, we want to try to abolish slavery. But this was an interesting point that I thought, that Paul, God's telling us and slaves at this time to the city of Colossae how they need to look at their vocation. Obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Let me just immediately throw that out at you. How many of us at work a lot of times like to be seen in what we're doing? We want people to notice, hey, I'm working hard here. How hard is it when nobody sees what you do? It is really hard. And that's why I think we want to understand God's view on work. Steve asked me to give a lot of examples, and I have a lot of examples about work. One of that's about me is I work here one day a week. You guys graciously pay me for one day of work, and part of that work is to take care of this building. There's times I get frustrated at that, especially if I'm outside and I see how, and I'm going to blame this on a lot of the kids, not you guys, the kids who hang out here from the neighborhood. especially over here, because this is where they hang out. This is a trash place. Bottles, cigarette butts, candy wrappers. And God has helped me to be a good worker. I think that's one of the attributes that I have among some of the bad things I have. I think I have a good work ethic. And I see all this trash and I get tired of picking it up. And there's something inside of me that says, nobody sees all these things I pick up. And I have to battle that. Do you do that at work? When you do things that you want acknowledgement for, that's one of the things that you and I have to deal with in our own sinful heart. Jeff talked about that a couple weeks ago, the selflessness. I am a selfish person. And if I want to learn how God wants me to work according to his scale and his purposes, I've got to be able to overcome those moments. And that's tough. But then it goes on to say in verse 23, whatever you do, okay, is that all inclusive? Underline it, right? It covers every area. Whatever you do, and he's talking to slaves in the context of the scripture, work at it with all your heart. Is that how you work every day, 8 hours a day? Man, I'm going to do this. There's some jobs, some areas that we do that are fun. I'm in construction. A huge variety of stuff I do. There's some stuff I love to do. I love to work with wood. When you cut that oak, what a smell, you know, or poplar or any of the woods, okay? When it's jackhammer digging out concrete in holes, blah, 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 blah. I don't like to do that. My attitude should not change. I need to work on that. Now, I understand it's harder work, but I need to allow God to work in me. Whatever I do, I need to work at it with all my heart. Guys, you're going to be in the work field soon. Put that up there in your mind and heart. Whatever you do, you have no idea what lies ahead the next 10 years, but God wants you to understand, I want you to do it with all your heart as working for the Lord, that you may receive an inheritance. That's critical. I know some of us like to say, oh, I'm not worried about the rewards and the inheritance. Let me tell you, God put it in here an awful lot in the scriptures about rewards. He wants us to know there's rewards because we're going to be getting to the time where we're tired, weary. We don't want to do that. Those of us on the older scale, retirement, I've worked all these years, I'm done. We just went to a leadership conference. Here was what one of the leaders said. If you're not dead, you're not done. All right? In God's kingdom. There will always be work for us. Doesn't mean you have to do manual work. We really miss here at Hope two ladies that weren't able to do chairs and tables and lift things. But Hilda Hopkins and Marge Kralin were workers for the kingdom because they were women of prayer. We are never done working until Jesus takes us home, whether it's by death or the rapture. We got to get that in our hearts too. And we need to know that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So, that's the verse that we want to kick this off on when we want to build a little bit of this, trying to get an understanding of what it means to work God's way. Let me give you just a little bit of history of work. Nathan, Genesis 2, could you put that verse up? And I'm gonna let go of my notes. I want to just read it here. I'll read it for you as you follow. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so that on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Work is God's idea. God is a worker. If I want to be godly, I need to be a worker like God. And right here we learn two things. God completed his work, and when it was done, he rested. That's the balance on the other side. Luanne and I, years ago when we lived in Glenside, we had a neighbor who we got to know well, and she invited us down to her house and we had dinner there. And from the time we got there to the time we left, this woman never stopped working, kind of like the Martha thing. And we talked to her about it. And she said she was taught that if she doesn't work, she's nothing. So her whole identity was about work and trying to feel important. She became a workaholic. God doesn't want that. God wants balance. There's a time to work and work at it with all your heart. There's a time to rest. Our bodies need it physically. Our minds need it. So we need to put that in the equation. God wants us to understand there's a balance with work. Nathan put up Genesis 2:15. I'm going to read this to verse 18. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So God was a God who designed work, was a worker himself, and gave Adam a job to do in a perfect environment. Everything God made was good. Now Adam has the opportunity to work at a job that's good. And God recognized that it wasn't good for Adam to do it alone. So I want to add something to this idea of work. God wants us to be good. He wants you to work at it with all your heart. And he doesn't want you to do it alone. That's why the church atmosphere is so wonderful. God wants us to be part of each other and what we do and what we want to accomplish. It's a great understanding of work. Genesis 3:17-19, Jeremy. But then this beautiful idea of working for purpose, great accomplishment, was something that was interrupted by sin. Work became a curse. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I command you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the earth. By the sweat of your brow," this is part of the curse, "you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return." That is part of what sin, how sin devastated this universe, that work became a curse. It was never God's intention. But I want to tell you this with the good news. God has redeemed that as well. We have a God of redemption that redeems the soul and redeems everything. It's not totally yet there. Romans 8 tells us that the earth is groaning still for the coming of Christ, that one day he'll make it all perfect again. But you and I in Christ, because of what we're going to celebrate today, we've been given the ability to overcome this curse. We can now understand that God gives us the ability through Christ, the Holy Spirit, to work at something with all of our heart because we know we're working for something far greater than the moment. We're working for eternity. And that's how we must see it. God has redeemed us from the curse of this world. I want to share with you a few stories. Be faithful to what Steve has asked me to do, because I have a million stories. And we don't have time for that. But I want to give you a few stories. One's about me, one's about LaWayne, and one's about my friend Rich. Rich isn't here, so I can tell this story. Actually, I asked Rich's permission. That's always a good thing to do when you preach up front here. First story about me. 17, out of high school, looking for a job. You know, jobs are tough right now, all right? But I believe God has something for every believer who wants to follow him. So if you don't have a job right now, don't lose heart. God's working on your behalf. But I got out of high school, 17, and my brother was a big shot, vice president of the biggest Cadillac dealer on the East Coast. It was a building 8 stories high where you could go up these ramps with the cars, then they had elevators that took them all the way up. And he got me a job at a parts department where I'd have to learn all the numbers, but I was good at numbers, so that came easy. And when I went to the manager in charge of parts, he said, you know, we lift a lot of heavy stuff here, so you're gonna have to work hard. I was always big, and he's telling me I gotta lift stuff, right? Well, when I got into it, I found out these guys don't lift hard stuff. But I was prepared for that. But here's what my brother told me. Chick, when they ask you to do something, you do it well, you do it to the best of your ability, and when you're done, you come and ask them, what else can I do? I thought that was good advice for a 17-year-old guy. I'm gonna try that. So I did. And you know what happened? My coworker said, yo, what are you trying to make us look bad? Come on, slow down here. That blew me away at 17 years old. There were people that don't want to work hard. Not a good thing. We need to be, as followers of Christ, people who work at it with all our heart as unto him. Doesn't matter if you don't get credit for that or appreciated. Now, I understand that's hard. When you work at something and do your best and you're not appreciated or you're slammed, or have you had this happen? I've had this happen. Or I don't get credit for doing that. Somebody else takes the credit for that. That's tough. But here's what we need to know. Here's what you and I need to believe. This work thing, it has to operate under the aspect of faith. I need to believe there's a God who sees everything. Regardless of what I inquire, no, that's not the right word, what I experience, all right? You and I will experience bad stuff in the workplace. People may talk about you. It does not matter if we have a handle that my God sees it. Nathan, put up Hebrews 6:10. This is a verse you want to hang your hat on. God is not unjust. There's a lot of people that are. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. Matter of fact, he's writing it down. He sees everything we do. And the love you have shown him as you helped his people and continue to help them. Now, this workforce, everything you do includes moms who work at home, change diapers, put up with nasty dispositions. I want this. Kind of goes back to Phyllis's talk, reminded me of that, when she prepares herself for when the girls come home. It could be a tough experience, you know? Are we prepared for stuff like that? Because it will happen. And when we can hang our hat on Hebrews 6:10, it will absolutely help us through. God's writing it down. Don't let people rob you of that knowledge that everything you do, whether in word or deed, says Colossians 3:17, do it in the name of Jesus. Corinthians says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's the mindset you and I need to have in a world where people are ripping each other, stepping on each other in the workforce. God sees it. And our kindness it will help us. So going back to this work experience, it was funny, as a new 17-year-old guy in the workforce, my brother telling me, work hard, appreciate it, this and that. It was interesting, I believe, I learned it then, that as someone who wants to follow God, you and I, and take this the right way, because I don't want this to be our motive, we can shine in the workforce as believers with godly ethics. Because when I was there working as a 17-year-old, trying to work hard, getting paid 8 hours a day, and by the way, my paycheck was $100 a week. I thought I was rich. I was able to buy a car that year. But here's what some of them guys did. We had these huge shelves that could hold, you know, hoods of cars, big stuff. And there were shelves that these guys would move to make spots. And this one guy took a 2-hour nap every day. 17-year-old, I'm watching this. It wasn't far from the boss's office, but he never got caught. Or at least if he did, you think he'd be fired. So here I am. I'm trying to understand what the workforce is. Here's another thing. Don't worry about what other people do. Boy, that's tough. You know, that's that whole Psalms 73 thing. You know, Lord, look at all the things that are happening to them and they don't follow you, but what about me? And then Asaph finally got to the point where he entered the sanctuary and recognized the true story. You and I are working for eternity. We've got to get that in our hearts and minds, gang. Because you won't experience that. You're going to be stomped on, not appreciated. We got to put it in our hearts. Lord, help me to understand I'm working for something far better than the here and now. Because the way you and I work, and get this, if we work with a godly attitude and try to work hard, and that's not just, I'm in construction, I do a lot of manual stuff. I looked up the word work in the Hebrew, Old Testament, in the Greek, New Testament, and Webster. And they were all very close together. Let me read what it says here. Work, any effort of accomplishment or something done by the mind or body or both. Whatever I'm trying to accomplish through my mind or my hands, okay, God considers that work. And I must understand that I'm to do it for Him for eternity. He says a cup of cold water. We have a good example here with the missions team who made those little bags of goodies for the kids that went. Just a small task, but the impact it had on all the churches. Do you remember hearing that story? If you weren't here, all the churches that saw that, wow, your church does that for your kids? You see, what we have to do is the good works. We have to plant the seed of good works. Let God have the increase, even if it's a cup of cold water. I need to know that, because there's times that I'll do things and I think, what's the use? Pointless. Or getting to the place where Solomon was, meaningless. From God's perspective, work is not meaningless. As a matter of fact, in Christ, work can be something of great value for the kingdom. If we plant works that are good, something you do for your neighbor, something you do for someone who's sick, or write a card, these are whatever you do, that's what it falls under. Do it for the Lord. You and I have no idea what God can do to make that blossom and bloom for His kingdom. That's the mindset I need to have, and it's powerful. Not only that, Jesus said this in John 9:3. I'm not going to turn to it. There's a time when work will cease. Time runs out. Now, the way we could probably interpret that, the best way is either I'm going to die or Jesus is coming again. The work that we have accomplished here will soon end. And minutes go by. And both Jeff and Scott talked about this. We need to be responsible, not waste time. Scripture says, redeem the time, because there's a time coming when I won't be able to work for the Lord. So with my dying breath, I want to be a worker that furthers the kingdom of God. But what I do manually and physically, what I do in service for Him, it's all connected. Don't separate your 8 hours a day at the workplace and what you do here at church or for the kingdom. It's all the same, and we have no idea how God can use it. Another example, and Dhamma's always taught us this, there's so many things we can learn by observing negative things. Luane tells the story, this was back when she wasn't full-time working. She worked at home, and she thought, during the Christmas time, I could use some extra money. I'm going to go apply at Macy's for a job, of which she got. But while she was there, there was a young girl. Now, hear this, guys. There was a young girl, and I'm not going to repeat everything she said. She's writing out the application for a job, and her statement was, this job, boo-boo. Wow. What an attitude to have. Doesn't even have the job yet. Just filling out an application for a job, and the attitude is just horrendous. We can't be like that. God doesn't want us to be like that. Here's another experience. I've known Richard when he was in college. That's a long time ago. And when Richard graduated Temple with an architectural degree, he started to have job applications. He lived on, and he wasn't far from me, because we all grew up in the West Oak Lane area. I think it was Mayfair Avenue. Do you remember that? Did your dad ever tell you that story, Jacqueline? It was a little street off of Washington Lane and Staten Avenue, not far from where Kate works. That's where he had a little apartment. And after he graduated, he had a whole wall, I'm going to say 8x12 wall, of rejection slips of job applications that he sent. And I remember he never got discouraged. He kept writing. He kept trying. And God, here's what we need to know. In all those times of we don't know why or what's going on, God was at work, because it taught him a tremendous attribute of perseverance. If you know Rich, Rich is a task-oriented guy. He gets things done. And God was using that in his life to not be a quitter. Finally, he got a job. And then eventually, a couple jobs after that, all in construction, he ended up with Crompton Sites. He ended up owning the business. And, you know, God blessed him in so many ways. I really believe, and if some of us know the story here, when he finally decided to close Crompton and Sites down, CNS Construction, he didn't own the building or the land. And they had an agreement to have a suitable time for him to close everything down. There was a mix-up, and he had to close within a month. How many remember that story? Because a lot of us helped him with it. I believe God, through all the different times and that huge lesson of perseverance, allowed him to be task-oriented, not get discouraged, and what he accomplished was a miracle. And we need to see that whatever comes our way, as we rely upon God and others, because God doesn't want us to be alone in this, God can accomplish great things. And that's what he wants us to understand. I want one verse to share with you. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 9, 6-19, put it up there. Another aspect of working, and And let me say it this way, too. There is so much on work, I couldn't touch the surface. What I would encourage you to do, if you get down in the dumps about your livelihood or work, or you get weary, start going through just the scriptures. Look up the word work and go through it methodically. And it is marvelously encouraging. But listen to this verse here. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. Listen to this. I love this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If you get weary of doing good, God will supply the strength to do it by his grace. So my encouragement to you is, when you get weary, go to the Lord. When you feel the bad attitudes coming, bring up the word of God and use it in that situation. Prayer. Ask God to help you have an attitude of prayer that will enable you to be encouraged to go on. So, you've got about 40 years ahead of you, maybe more. Okay, don't be discouraged. You make God number one in your life, and you won't believe the ride. It'll be marvelous. You're in the thick of things, young family people. And life seems chaotic at times. So much to do. All right? Keep bringing everything to the Lord in that. All those difficulties that you have and trying to make sense of it, God's got a plan that he's working out. And he's watching you. He wants you to trust in him and believe in him. And those of us who are moving towards elderly positions, we're not to grow weary. God wants us to be workers. We can do something always. Even the fact, I don't want to embarrass her, but even the fact of my sister, Sue, who, you know, we pray for her, she knows we pray for her, but the joy that she has in her heart by accepting what God has allowed her to experience is powerful to all of us. So we need to pray that her attitude will remain that way. Pray for Greg, who serves her and is such an example to me. This is everything that we do is appreciated by God when it's done with all of our hearts in his name. So let's not lose that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. You know, as we think about communion and those of us who teach on Communion Sunday, it wasn't too hard for me to make the connection from work to the communion table. Because it was Jesus, the scripture says, who came to do the work that his Father sent him to do. This was what Jesus came to do. When we remember this table, it was his death. He came to do a work that was excruciating, but said in Hebrews, "For the joy set before me, I endured the cross," because he knew what it would accomplish. So you and I come today, those of us who are in Christ, believing, and here's the only part that we should recognize as believers of works. I can't do anything to accomplish my own salvation. It's Christ and Christ alone that has accomplished this work today at the table. For it's by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. Not by works, lest any man should work. I should be a worker, but not when it comes to salvation, to what Christ has accomplished. He's worthy of that praise because it's him and him alone. So come today rejoicing over the fact that your salvation is free. But now we have an obligation to be examples of Him in the workplace.